Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, people of Earth. Welcome to Movie Geeks United. This is an exciting night because we'll be discussing the 2011 movie releases, and which will be a surprise to me because, like I said to you guys before the show started, I actually don't know week to week what's happening this year.
Okay, that's cool.
I depend upon you guys, man.
Okay, well, I got you guys set up for the whole year, so I mean,
okay,
ready.
Hey. You guys see anything interesting lately before we get started on the releases?
I saw Another Year last night.
Good. Isn't that like one of his best? That's such a great movie.
It's an incredible movie, and I like it. It's incredibly, the acting is perfect. I thought the performances were extraordinary. But I have to say, like most Mike Lee films, there is this underlying bleakness.
Yeah.
Not in a way that I think suffocates it, though, at all. But it is... There's certain some of the characters, I don't want to give anything away, but you sort of know what they're going to do, and you're just like, when it happens, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe she's actually doing that. But it was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really well done.
There's a
but
real
you can tell he has a heart.
Existentialist tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you can tell he has a heart for these characters.
Oh yeah, but let me ask you this, and then did you notice, like, towards the end of each segment, especially the dinner segments, how exasperated Jim Broadbent was becoming with each guest. I mean, it's just like, it starts, it's not sudden, but it's building it up, and he just like basically is like, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah.
It was, but it was just so well, the way it came out and everything, I just thought, what an astonishingly awesome actor he is.
Yeah.
Yes, and
yeah.
Also he's the one actor in the piece that's not playing Torment. Well, his wife too, but
yeah,
they're
both doing good. Yeah,
that's a difficult thing because you're the emotional anchor in the middle of a movie where chaos is happening all around you.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, and he handles the chaos in different ways too. I mean, the way he handles his wife's friend Mary and his friend, I mean, they're kind of the same. They're both sort of depressive and sort of blubbering. But then there's also his nephew at the, well, I don't want to give away too much, but
no.
Towards the end of the movie when he has to handle his nephew's behavior, he's a lot more firm, and he really is like a big, you know, sort of an oak in that moment
who
will not be moved. It's really kind of one of the more touching moments in the movie.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because we've all had a family member sort of misbehave at an inappropriate time and how sort of cringeworthy it is. I love that movie. It's one of those movies that I saw it recently, too, just about a week ago. And the more I think about it, the more I liked it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, Chris, you saw some other movies.
I did. I saw your favorite movie of last year. I saw Barney's Version. I did like the movie. It was not as high on it as you were. It would have, again, been one of those movies that would have made an appearance like in a top 20 or even a top 25 maybe. Of the year. I definitely liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like it was the best movie of the year or one of my favorite movies of the year. But I did think that Paul Giamatti's performance is one of the best lead performances. I thought the movie was a little bit of a mess, but his performance is flawless, and it might even be his best performance. It doesn't have the kind of snappy dialogue that something like Sideways has, or, you know, it's not as epic as John Adams, but... as far as Paul Giamatti performances, it's up there. It's way up there.
You would put that above American Splendor and Sideways?
I got to be honest. American Splendor is never a movie that's really blown my skirt up.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I liked it. I thought it was fine. I wasn't freaking out about it like everybody else was.
Okay. No, that's a fair, Fair enough. No, I was just curious how. Okay.
But yes, yes, you know, is the answer to the question. I would put it up there with that and Sideways.
Okay.
You know what? I'm trying to get my chat room open and I can't. So I'm here. Anyone out there that wants to know, but obviously, I'm actually on the show, so obviously I'm here, but I can't correspond with anyone out there listening. And I know that's a great treat for all of our listeners, so I'm so sorry. I saw something that I was completely shocked that I loved as much as I did. And you guys are going to ridicule me from here till
next
Monday. No Strings Attached.
What was wrong with it? What was wrong with the movie? Please tell me. I loved it. I mean, can I just say something? How nice it is to see a romantic comedy that Katherine Hagel and Gerard Butler are not in. Okay? Can I just say that right now? And can I say Ashton Kutcher, we need someone, just someone awesome, just to make him look somewhat decent? I mean, so
it proved to me that no matter how many conventions you're dealing with, you know, the same tired formula, if you feel that the characters are true, if you care about them, it doesn't matter. Like, the conventions will kind of fade away. And I genuinely liked both of them very much in this movie and liked them together more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very funny. And it's
funny
in the way it's directed. I mean, in all of its directorial choices, it's very alive and funny. And so I liked it. I was dreading it, actually. I was like, I don't know if I want to go all the way to, you know, out of town to go see the screening, and I'm glad I did, especially the mood I've been in lately.
Yeah.
And I walked out of a romantic comedy, and I was like, man, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. I agree. It was really surprisingly well done, and you know,
well,
I
mean, to be
Ivan
fair,
it's not
a real romantic comedy. It's not about a romance. It's about two people that just want to fuck everything that moves, right?
So. Yeah, something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, but it blossoms. It blossoms into one. I mean,
it really
mean
does. It's actually
that's why
really
you
well
responded
done.
To it.
Now what, Chris?
That's why you responded to it. Because
it's not about
romance. It's just about wanting to get out there and bang the shit out of somebody. Yes.
No, that's not the part of it.
And the supporting performances are good, too.
Man, that was a long walk to try and get that out.
Yeah. But actually, the supporting performances are good, too.
Yeah, Greta Gerwig is in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. too.
I got to be honest. Yeah, the previews don't look that bad. It looks like an okay movie. It's got Natalie Portman, and I like her very much. The problem I have with it is Kutcher. I'm not saying I'm not going to see it. I'm just saying if a lot of people are like me, their stomach sort of turns and their nose sort of turns up when they see that Kutcher's in it. That's
oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's a natural reaction, I think, at this point.
I think Kutcher's strong. I think he's
overcomes it.
I think he's very subtle in the movie. I think that he comes from – I'm trying to think of somebody that's comparable to him, you know, kind of like a jackass prankster, jokester background, kind of disreputable feeling about him. And so when he tries his hand at, you know, some sincere acting, you kind of roll your eyes. But he's very effective in it. I mean, he's the genuine deal in it, I think. Mm. Yeah. And the important part of it is I remember Frankie and Johnny, and that's not one of Pacino's best, but – There's the strength of that movie comes from the romantic strength of it. It comes from the fact that every time Pacino looks at her, you know that he is completely helplessly in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that too with Ashton Kutcher eventually as this movie goes on. I mean, you feel that. All right, enough about this crap.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about her anyways. I mean,
Yeah.
Let me also say I saw Let Me In, the remake of Let the Right One In, and I liked it against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
Even after we did our show last week and you put it in your top 10, Jamie, I still was thinking, how the fuck, like, it can't be that good. Now, again, I wouldn't put it in my top 10, but I thought it was a really, really effective remake. It really did a good job of sort of, it sounds worse than it is, but they sort of Americanized it. The original just didn't have a tone and a pace that is compatible with American audiences. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We just have a faster pace and we have a shorter attention span. And I really thought they did a good job of sort of finding, of meeting in the middle and making a really solid movie. Very, very solid. Mm-hmm. So much so that if I were recommending it to someone to see one or the other, I would probably recommend they see the remake, because the first one is a little bit more of an acquired taste kind of thing. It's really only for cinephiles, whereas this one is a movie that just about anybody could enjoy, I think.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's just, you know, remember, the big complaint in this country against foreign movies is I don't go to the movies to read. So, you had to be, and you're right. It's just the original is just not going to, never going to really catch on.
The original, too, it relied a lot on the silences.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're adverse to subtitles, it doesn't break your attention with the original. I mean, it's impossible to convince someone of that if they just refuse to see a subtitle movie.
Right.
But
yeah.
I like the fact that the remake wasn't all balls out, wall-to-wall noisy. You know, it wasn't Americanized in the wrong way.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
It maintained the spirit of the movie, the kind of quiet, haunted, regretful, you know, feeling.
Yeah, but still scary. And like all remakes, there's some stuff that the original did better and they didn't do quite as good a job at, and vice versa. There was some stuff that, to be honest, the remake did better.
Mm-hmm.
More so than most remakes. It really was the exception as far as remakes goes. As good,
well,
if not better.
And speaking of Let Me In, next Wednesday, that'll be February 2nd, we'll have Richard Jenkins, Cody Smith McPhee, and Matt Reeves on the show to talk about Let Me In. It comes out on DVD on February 1st.
Oh, okay.
And then I had a great conversation. I mean, this was a wild conversation. Talked for an hour with the director of the original I Spit on Your Grave. And let me tell you, whatever your thoughts on that movie, this was like a really delightful conversation. It's very, very endearing and surprising. I think a lot of people will find it. So that'll air the following Wednesday. And in between, we have Margot Kidder and a couple more things. We just posted 4 shows yesterday on Sundance and Slam Dance. People like Peter Dinklage from The Station Agent. Some great documentary about Chaz Bono from the directors of Inside Deep Throat and The Eyes of Tammy Faye and the Monica Lewinsky black and white documentary. It's very good stuff, so check our archives for that. Okay, 2011. When you guys look over this, and Chris, you expressed this before we got on the air, does it look like a lackluster year?
Yes, it does. But you have to think of it, first of all, we don't know what all is coming out of Sundance and what's going to be the stuff, what we're starting to now. But when you look at things through the eyeball of mid-January, it always looks grim. Any year you look at that way, it's like you sort of get the drags this time of year, and there's some good stuff in there too, but January, the first part of the year is not known for great cinema. The summer movies are always underwhelming to me. It's just a bunch of big like comic book action type stuff, which I don't get excited about. Fall is really when the stuff I get excited about. And there is some good stuff in fall. But other than that, it does kind of look like a lackluster year. Like, there was, when I looked through, I scanned through all the weeks, and there was just not a lot to get excited in between now and fall. There's a few things, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get started. Let's get started with what we're looking forward to for the rest of January. You got that handy?
Okay, for the rest of January, as far as wide releases go, this Friday we have the remake of The Mechanic with Jason Statham and Ben Foster, and Anthony Hopkins' horror thriller, The Right. How do we feel about these two?
I think The Right looks creepy.
Yeah, it does. They're doing this weird thing with the marketing, though, where they're like, Anthony Hopkins' best performance, and then it's like a 3-second beat, since Hannibal Lecter. Like, that sentence washes over you, and you're like,
wait a minute, are we consider Red Dragon and Hannibal or whatever as, okay, whatever.
Well, they don't specify, they just say Hannibal Lecter. They
oh my God, okay.
Yeah.
They obviously want to appeal to the same
exactly.
Crowd. I don't know. I think it looks interesting, but I just keep thinking of that thing from The Wolfman. Lawrence, you've done terrible, terrible things. I'm like, Anthony, you've done some really terrible things by being in this movie. And I don't know, the two, I'd go see The Mechanic. I think the dynamic of having Statham play the Bronson part and Foster play the Jan Michael Vincent part is just a really good idea. I really think that has a lot of promise.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a remake that people aren't going to be aware of being a remake. There's no precious feeling about it amongst most people. I remember the mechanic. I remember we got our first beta machine when I was a kid, and that was the first movie, that and Remo Williams, that my father rented. Yeah.
Wow. Waiting for them to reboot that. They are rebooting it as we speak.
I'll see the Jason Statham version when it's released on beta.
On beta, okay, great. All right. We have the Javier Bardem's movie Beautiful Goes Wider, and Kaboom, Greg Araki's movie, opens in one theater from IFC on that as well.
Usually around awards time, it's a very slow period.
Mm-hmm.
I find.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to do both wide?
No. I want you to continue. And yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let me go then to February 4th. We have the two wide releases. We have The Roommate, which I just know from the trailers, and Sanctum, which is the latest 3D film that I believe James Cameron's producing.
Yeah. Okay,
any
what's the next week?
Any thoughts on these two?
Sanctum looks like a movie that could be fun. I believe it was shot in 3D, was it not? And it looks like a movie that could be interesting to go see in 3D, but the word just sort of isn't out yet. I mean, it's an interesting preview. I don't know what to think of it. It's sort of one of those wait and see what the word is on it type situations.
So Cameron, and the news is that Cameron is diving to as low a depth as possible, I guess. I don't know the particulars. But he's taking a special team to dive to do research for Avatar 2.
Wow.
On the life down below in those depths of the sea. So.
Okay, wow. I didn't realize that.
When you said he was going to the lowest depths, I thought you were going to say he's going to make a Hannah Montana movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking.
or TV.
Or I thought you meant lowest depths by this movie. but we also have, let me see, the other big thing as far as limited releases is Natalie Portman's The Other Woman opens. And that's also available on IFC On Demand right now.
And you saw it and you liked it, right?
It was all right. I actually like No Strings Attached a lot better, to be honest with you. But let me put it to you like this, and it's not her fault. When you're in a movie and you're in a performance like Black Swan, that's a hard thing to top, and you shouldn't even be thinking about that, but that's such an incredible movie. I was talking to a woman about it yesterday before we went into another year, and it's just such a mesmerizing performance. It's really hard, to live. You're not going to be able to live up to that for a while, but it's just that performance is so fresh in my mind when watching The Other World.
Yeah.
This is like run-of-the-mill kind. This is a very run-of-the-mill kind of movie. And from Don Roos and everyone involved, you sort of know where it's going. It's definitely worthwhile watching, on demand. I think it's worthwhile checking out, but it's nothing.
And No Strings Attached is moving as far away from that tortured personality as possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice to see that, hey, she's having fun. She has a smile on her face. She doesn't have things growing out of her. It's very nice. Now, some of these other movies I'm not familiar with that are opening, Cold Weather, the documentary Dressed.
Oh, the Aaron Katz movie, Cold Weather. Yeah. Okay.
And the documentary Dressed. And the Waiting for Forever.
Okay.
Okay. If anyone has any thoughts and needs me to read any descriptions on these, I'd be more than happy to.
We'll stop you.
Oh, you stop me, please. Please stop me when you want that. Okay. When we get to the 11th, we get for the Valentine's Day weekend, we have The Eagle, Romeo and Juliet in 3D. I did not know that was in 3D. Someone will have to explain to me why. Just Go With It, the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston comedy, and Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. I mean, I don't know what to say, guys. The Eagle,
well,
I think, the wins. The Eagle wins for me, hands down.
What is the Eagle again?
It's, I guess, it reminds me of that Michael Fassbender movie from last year, Centaurin. Do you remember that?
Okay.
Kind of reminds me of that, but we have Channing Tatum and Jamie Bell. And
It's directed by Kevin MacDonald too. Just for the record.
I saw a trailer for it yesterday. I think it looks pretty good.
Very homoerotic trailer.
We want to go there.
It is the Romans.
And I have to say, this movie and Centaurin, even though it only was on for two seasons, you're beginning to see in a lot of movies the influence of Rome, the HBO show. You're really seeing that in a lot of movies. And, you see it with the Spartacus television series on Starz.
Right.
Yeah, you're beginning to see this big resurgence of these gladiators.
And HBO's mounting Game of Thrones or something?
Game of Thrones. Yeah, that's more fantasy, though. That's more...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's a fantasy.
Still
that's
in that realm, though. Still
yeah,
in that.
It
I mean,
is. You're right.
It's a gladiator-type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. you like gladiator movies?
Okay, but there is...
Hey, but this is a question I want to ask.
Okay.
Chris, maybe you could start out by answering this. Is Jennifer Aniston a star, or is she just famous?
I was just having this conversation. Was it you who was having this conversation the other day? I don't think she is a star, because she can't really sell a movie on her own, and she doesn't really bring anything to the table for the most part. There's a few exceptions. I like Management, and then The Good Girl was a decent little performance for her. But, everybody, we just talked about Kutcher hitting one out of the park a minute ago, so anybody can do it.
Yeah,
In general, though, no, I don't think she is a star. I don't think it works by herself. And I don't think this part, I don't think it's necessary for her to be a star in an Adam Sandler movie.
Don't you think it has to do with the fact that she's making the same movie every single time?
Well, certainly. The few movies that I just named are the ones where she's even slightly different. Very slightly.
What
the
about
Good Girl
the
and Management were two of her better performances, but it's not like she was really outside of her comfort zone there. Just slightly.
Yeah, what about She's the One, Ed Burns movie?
Yeah, same thing. Good performance, very, very just sort of generally outside of her comfort zone. Not really way outside.
Yeah, but she's not really... the star
of all
these
things. Jamie Dimon does the same thing over and over.
What she needs is something that, along the lines of probably something like A Good Girl, that is more widely seen.
Well, the problem with The Good Girl is it's a great... I do like it. There's a lot of good performances in the movie, but it's also a very... It can't be a wide-release movie in a sense. It has a depressing undertone to it that a lot of people...
Right,
I'd worked
right.
in retail, and there's a really bleak undertone in that film.
She made headlines last week for saying that she hated the Rachel haircut. I guess that's the character in Friends. So when you're doing 4 or 5 movies a year... and you're making headlines talking about the haircut that you had 12 years ago when you're on a hit TV show, and not for the movies you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not good.
What's coming up?
What about the breakup? Do we have any feelings? Because Becky in the chat room brought up the breakup.
I love that movie today.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, all right, let's go on. What's coming next? All right, there you get. The thing I wanted to mention on that day, though, is that this comedy that's coming out, Cedar Rapids, that I've been seeing trailers for. Let me see if I can get the... speaking of The Good Girl, directed by Miguel Arteta, and stars Rob Corddry, Anne Heche, Ed Helms, John Reilly, Sigourney Weaver. It looks like a very funny film.
Hmm.
Now, whether the trailer is just doing a great job of selling that, I don't know, but I think that actually could be one of the sleepers of this time of year.
Okay,
yeah,
could be.
All right, just a thought.
It's a funny preview. Very funny.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's... now I got to go back. I had lost my place. Okay.
Hey, did you guys see the new Roger Ebert show this weekend?
No, damn it.
I missed it.
Huh.
Okay, well, all right, on that sad note that Chris and I have both missed that, I think all three of us are in agreement that the greatest third act of any franchise opens February 18th, and I am, of course, talking about Big Mamas Like Father Like Son. I don't know of anyone who even walked out of the first one who said, oh, my God, I can't wait to see where this goes next. So having said that, I Am Number 4 and Unknown also open on that day. And I have to say that they are, for both of those, even I Am Number Four, I think actually really good trailers. Whether they're going to be good movies is another thing. I actually have high hopes for Unknown, but can't say that I Am Number Four doesn't look bad, you know?
I can see Unknown being a hit.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of I Am Number Four, I mean, that's, there's a real sense of what the hell was that from the trailer. It's intriguing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what it'll appeal to.
Well, I feel like people will say, who the hell is Big Mama? I mean, that's going to appeal to.
Well, I kind of tend to agree with Jamie, because it's kind of the when you're sort of marketing something like that, it's a superhero movie, essentially, although they're not coming out and saying that's what it is. It's obvious that's what it is. And they're releasing, what are we up to, like late February here?
Yeah.
Releasing a superhero movie with that kind of campaign in late February seems a little bit dangerous to me. Like, seems like the kind of thing where you're not going to hear about much about this movie unless they really start building buzz, and I just don't feel that kind of buzz building up right now.
Right.
You see that they're really wanting to make summer movies and seasons outside of summer. I mean,
that works for
the Green Hornet too. But you're wondering, would the Green Hornet perform better in summer? Would it be buried in summer? Is
it's
its best
call.
Bet? Yeah, who knows?
It's a tough
who knows?
Call. You just don't know. You don't know how the market works. That the Green Hornet made as much as it did that opening weekend is impressive.
Yeah, but it's still not as much as they would, whether the studio admits it or not. It's a big superhero movie that they wanted to make into a franchise that probably will not become a franchise. Now, it's the same thing with, like, Watchmen last year. They released that in spring, and it sort of died, you know, like, it wasn't, like, a shameful death.
No.
It definitely was not what they wanted for it, and I think that's more because of what Jamie's saying. They're trying to sort of plant seeds in other seasons, and it's not really working so far. Occasionally it does.
Well, the only thing with Watchmen was sort of a, not dead on arrival, but it's a self-contained movie. There is no sequel. There is no franchise. It's like what you put out there is what you get. The only hope is that you release, you know, a director's cut, definitive version, DVDs, because there isn't anything after that. It's such a, I like it. As the more I think about it, as years go on, I like the movie more and more. But let's be honest, it's just the demographic that you are aiming that towards isn't interested in a comic book movie that takes place in an alternate universe of 1985 America, Cold War America. It's an alien concept to them. So
I guarantee I think 90%
of the people that saw it didn't even know it was in 1985.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the jokes went over the audience's head. I mean, so.
I guarantee if that movie made $300 million domestic, they'd find a way to make a sequel.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
Right.
But I mean,
they were
just
even talking about it already.
Oh, they did talk about it?
Absolutely. No, they talked about it beforehand. You know, I mean, it would have nothing to do with Alan Moore, but there would have been a sequel if that movie had made a bunch of money.
I just didn't see how. But you're right. Oh, if anything, of course they would. They, you know, Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures would be, you know, they'd be working on that right now. Okay. Let me see. There's also another movie that comes out that day in Limited that's also on demand right now with Hayden Christensen called Vanishing on 7th Street. I don't know much about this movie. I've heard there is some buzz on it. Have you guys seen it or know anything about it?
I've heard the title. That's all I've heard.
Okay. Okay, I was hoping that. All right, well, so.
Sorry,
no one's helping me out here. I'm trying to. All right. All
well,
right.
Is it about a guy that vanishes on 7th Street? Is that
I guess so. I know. I just thought there was some buzz on it. But, you know, if no one really.
No, those were flies.
Oh, okay. You're right, or the sound of crickets at this point. But, okay, the February 25th, the continuing to help Nicolas Cage pay off his enormous debt to the IRS and everything else, Drive Angry in 3D. I'd
go see that.
Oh, yeah, it looks fun. Hall Pass, the latest comedy. Let me see what I can come up with here. From the Farley Brothers, with Owen Wilson and Jason Sudeikis, Jenna Fischer.
Now directed by the Farley Brothers and written by them? Or?
Okay. Yes, directed and written by them.
Okay.
And Christina Applegate, Jenna Fischer, and Richard Jenkins is in it, too.
Hall Pass. That's the movie about the guys that have a night or a week to score?
A week to live the life that they've always wanted. And a horror movie, Shelter, which I don't know much about.
Now, what was the first one? The first one
Drive
you mentioned
Angry.
Was...
Drive Angry with Nick Cage. and then Hall Pass, and then Shelter. Those are the three big ones that day.
It's so apparent to everyone that Nick Cage is wasting his time and hours, isn't it?
Well, everyone keeps saying that. How does he keep getting these movies? I mean, we're going on like 10 years or something like that he's been making bad movies. How do they keep, like, seriously, like, fiscally, how is it, like, a good idea for them to keep making these Bangkok Dangerous and Next and Drive Angry and The Sorcerer's Apprentice and the other one that's in theaters, right, Season of the Witch? Like,
oh, God.
How are they doing this? Like, are these movies making a shit ton of money overseas? Is that what's going on? Because they're not making money here, and they're getting panned. So how, like, at this point, like, careers start to, like, sort of wane off, and he seems to keep having these huge, like, releases that never go anywhere. How's
well,
this happening?
Yeah.
Well, I think isn't he, like, the most torrented actor online? Aren't his films, like, the most torrented and downloaded? I know in, like, Eastern Europe, probably. But these movies aren't really that good. Although he does, but every couple of years there is a good performance comes out.
Yeah.
Or Lord of War. But it does, remember, Sean Penn was the first one to say it. He goes, does anyone take him seriously? And this was, I think, in 98. 1998 is Sean
Penn. And, you know, to be somewhat fair, I mean, there are different, you're absolutely right, Chris. I don't know why he keeps getting, these movies keep getting greenlit with him starring in them, but maybe he's like a bargain basement kind of deal, name recognition and a good price. I don't know. But to be somewhat fair, there are different kinds of outlooks on actors and their choices.
Mm-hmm.
Some
yeah.
are very selective. Others like to work. Maybe he's a latter.
Well, Michael Caine has always said he's a working actor. And that was when Jaws of Revenge came out.
That was his excuse.
Yeah. But
these aren't like sort of just kind of forgettable little movies like that Shock to the System or something like that Michael Caine sort of made throughout the 80s and, like, you know, movies that are funny but not classics like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels or, what you know, Blame It on Rio, that kind of thing. He made a lot of movies.
He did.
Nicolas Cage is making bad movies.
Bad-budgeted movies. Bad expensive movies.
Yeah, like embarrassing bad. Like, you watch them and they're really kind of awkward and sort of cringy. Like, it's not just... But you're right. Every couple of years, there is a Kick-Ass or, you know, some people like his performance in the Bad Lieutenant movie. Yeah, like, every couple of years. And, you know, like, fucking Roger Ebert always seems to like his movies, I guess, a little bit. But somebody is obviously enjoying them. Because the studios, and somebody is buying them, too. Either it's on DVD or internationally. Because the studios would not continue to greenlight these things unless some of them made some money.
So you're saying Jerry Bruckheimer's... like, nephew really likes these movies, and that's why we keep getting them.
Maybe. I don't know what it is.
You know, but he's a major risk. I mean, he's best when he's a major risk taker. So it's just such an odd dichotomy that the majority of his career now, he's relegated himself to making completely run-of-the-mill choices.
He needs to do what Costner did and be in a film, a supporting performance. Now, Kick-Ass is a very good supporting performance, I think, but he needs to be in something like The Company Man or The Upside
Jerry, Bank. Your phone is screwing up.
My phone is screwing up? Oh, God.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you're on a cell phone, but you're not. You're in your home.
No, I'm on a landline, dude. Well, is it really that bad? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got the list here.
See if you
while
can,
you
like,
correct your situation.
Okay.
You
want me to call back in, or?
Yeah, I want you to call back in, but I've rebooted my computer, so it might take me like 2 or 3 minutes to get my switchboard to bring you back up.
All right.
Talk to you in a little bit. Okay. You got your list, Chris?
Yeah, I do. All right. Next, we got the Rango movie, the Johnny Depp thing. I'm going to kind of stick to the road here. Jerry's going off all sorts of nature trails there that I'm going to sort of stick to the beaten down path here. The Adjustment Bureau. The previews just started coming out for this.
Matt Damon.
I can say, like, yeah, the Matt Damon movie, directed by George Nolfi, he's the screenwriter on the Bourne movies. It looks pretty good. It looks like a neat little kind of thriller, action thriller type thing. Let's see.
Rango. Have you seen the previews to Rango? They've been playing these elongated previews for it, and it's neat because in terms of animated voicing animated films and characters, they're actually playing the scenes. I mean, they're all mic'd up and they're physically playing the scenes. So it's not like a guy isolated in a booth.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell the lizard has like depths, mannerisms, and things like that. It's directed by Gore Verbinski. So certainly no, he and Depp are not strangers by any in any sense. And Gore Verbinski is a pretty good director, actually. So that might be an interesting sort of sleeper type movie because there's not a whole lot of buzz about it.
That's a successful collaboration between the two of them, I would say.
Yeah, I would have to say so. It's raked in billions. I think we can make let them make an animated movie about a lizard if they want to. There's also the remake of the Beauty and the Beast, that beastly movie, is coming out that week too. But that looks like it's for kids. Battle Los Angeles comes out on March 11th. I gotta say, when I was in the theater and I saw this preview come on, it just feels so tired to see another movie where it's like people are looking up at the sky and these shadows are overtaking them. It's another movie about an alien invasion. And I don't know, maybe it's good, but do you feel like it's any different from the previous?
I think it's a tired thing, but occasionally, I mean, I felt like that watching 2012. Occasionally, we just want to see the world just get blown the hell up, you know? Like, as audiences, we want that sensory experience, and maybe the 2012 crowd have flocked to this to see the same.
Maybe so. I mean, I get it, and sometimes, you're right, sometimes if they bring something fresh to it the way that District 9 did, then it can work. Then it can be something special. But if they don't bring anything fresh, then you get the one that we just got a couple months ago, and I've already forgotten the name.
Can't even remember the name. I know it starts with an F.
You know the one I'm talking about. Like, it's gone already.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, also that week, Catherine Hardwicke's movie Red Riding Hood. I don't know what to think about that. She's an interesting director, but I don't know about a Red Riding Hood movie.
Mm. Yeah. No. What do you think about her, about Amanda Seyfried?
I think she's smoking hot. I mean, I think she's a good actress. She hasn't, like, blown me away in anything. I saw that movie Chloe, and I don't know. I didn't feel like she did anything in that movie that wasn't ground that was well worn out by Fatal Attraction.
There doesn't seem to be any there. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you mean. It's sort of Jennifer Aniston. She doesn't play the same parts that Jennifer Aniston does, but she's sort of doing the same thing, just playing the same thing over and over again. She's very cute.
Jerry, I'm going to bring back up my switchboard. It'll just take me a couple more minutes if you're on hold. She is. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl.
Yeah. March 18th, the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro in a supporting part, which actually showed a couple clips from this during his award at the Golden Globes the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way,
Last Wednesday we did that, but let me get your take on De Niro's speech more than anything else.
I thought De Niro's speech was kind of embarrassing. I thought it was like a weird, like, he clearly had someone write that for him. And it was like, I don't know if he got, like, a fucking Alan King or somebody, like, had to write it for him, like some schmaltzy Borscht Belt comedian.
He probably did, because Alan King's dead. But this, you're exactly right. De Niro never talks. And so it was so odd that he goes up and he becomes Don Rickles all of a sudden. It was disconcerting.
Yeah, it was disconcerting. He and Pacino both had long-winded speeches that were disconcerting in two totally different ways. Like, De Niro just felt like he was trying to be something that he's not. Pacino just seemed like he was, ironically, needed Jack Kevorkian to go ahead and put him down because he was just rambling on and on.
He's
like,
not a good speech maker. He's not.
His hair looked like a wisp of cotton candy, like flying in the breeze, something like that. Like, he looked like he just seriously like escaped from the nursing home and wandered in there. Like, a great actor, and he deserved the award more than maybe anybody else. But that speech was out there. The whole show was out there.
It really was. But, you know, I like Ricky Gervais. And why the hell would you hire Ricky Gervais? He's even told you that he's going to be insulting to people. Why would you get all up in arms about it?
Oh, absolutely. He was on that, the guy that replaced Larry King the other night, Pierce, what's his name?
Yeah.
Gervais was on there two nights ago. And he said the same thing. Like, no, I don't feel bad. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to give anybody an apology. You don't hire me unless you want, you know, you don't invite a hammerhead shark to the party unless you want people to be eaten, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That
and it's the only thing
that
people are talking about with the Golden Globes, honestly. It's the only thing
that
people are still talking about with it.
Yes, that and the fact that they nominate ridiculous stuff. Like, the, you know, if they weren't talking about Ricky Gervais on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, they were shitting on the Golden Globes for nominating things like The Tourist and Alice in Wonderland and Red and things like that. I mean, I had countless friends of mine on Twitter and Facebook and things like that who were saying, how the fuck did The Tourist get nominated for all this
yeah.
stuff, but True Grit did not? Hailee Steinfeld does not get a nomination, but Angelina Jolie does for The Tourist. And again, Ricky Gervais said it on that guy's show the other night. He said, like, do you really think that Johnny Depp, like, I made fun of Johnny Depp. You think it hurts Johnny Depp's feelings? Do you think that he is not aware of the reviews for The Tourist? Do you think he's not aware that the movie did not make any money? Of course
yeah.
he knows. Of course he thinks it's funny, too.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the movies. That week, one finally on this list, a movie that I'm truly interested in, Paul, the new movie from Greg Mottola with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and Seth Rogen as the voice of the alien. Very, very funny preview for this movie online.
Is this all live action?
Oh, yeah. It's live action. Well, Paul, the alien that they pick up. But, you know, I mean, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, the guys from Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Of course, this is
yeah.
not an Edgar Wright movie, but they pick up an alien in Area 54 and are sort of tooling around the country with him in an RV. It's a comedy. It looks very, very funny.
Good, good.
Lincoln Lawyer, also coming out that week with Matthew McConaughey, which I know for a while Tommy Lee Jones was attached to direct this, I think, and somehow he got off of it. But,
huh. You know, Tommy Lee Jones, two things. Tommy Lee Jones is directed and stars in a Cormac McCarthy script
yeah.
for HBO.
Yeah.
And also Lincoln Lawyer, which makes me think of Lincoln Log, which kind of makes me completely discredit the movie. But that author is local.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
Know
it's
that.
Got local connections, yeah.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
And apparently
that movie...
he's very, very well off.
Wow. Well, the movie's got McConaughey in it, so it's surely going to suck ass.
And a McConaughey movie that is not a romantic comedy, though.
Yeah, but he makes one of these every once in a while. He makes a two for the money or something like that. And they usually, you know, they don't turn out any better than the horrible comedies that he makes with Kate Hudson. I hope they do, because unlike Kutcher, I think that McConaughey is actually really talented. I think
mm-hmm.
that especially early on in his career and occasionally later on in his career, you know, stuff like EdTV, even A Time to Kill, which is not a good movie, but he's very good in it. He's talented as a dramatic actor, and like I said, Ed TV, he's very talented as a comedic actor. So
and
maybe,
he's,
I shouldn't be so tough on it.
And he's also about to do a William Friedkin movie, which isn't a romantic comedy. I think it's
Hell
comical.
The, yeah.
I am Vincent
Billy.
Matthew McConaughey.
Billy Friedkin. My fave.
Let's bring Jerry back up. Jerry, you with us?
Okay.
Yeah. Can I just chime in on some of the stuff that I missed?
You sound better, by the way.
Oh, thank you. No, I was calling on the wrong line, man. I'm really sorry about that. I was
no
so
problem.
Excited to call into the show. You know, I was delirious. Okay. Let's see. The Adjustment Bureau. The Adjustment Bureau is one of the films I was looking forward to last September, and then it was Universal decided to punish the producers and the whole creative team behind that and Your Highness, so they decided, let's screw Jerry Dennis, and we'll move him back to 2011. So I'm looking forward to The Adjustment Bureau, even though I don't know what to really think of the latest trailer. Paul? Yeah, Paul looks like, you know, I'm definitely up for that. And The Lincoln Lawyer. It's based on a really good Michael McConley book, so it could
mm-hmm.
Michael Connelly book. So it could be, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Michael McConaughey and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I know. But there is one, the film you were thinking of was Skyline,
yes.
the alien invasion film. One of the worst movies made in the last several years, just really unwatchably bad. I think Battle Los Angeles will be just better just given the cast of the film.
I hope so, and I'm glad you remember the title because that's the exact movie I was thinking of. But isn't it creatively, like, okay, you're making a movie about aliens that show up and want to blow shit up. Isn't it creatively just fucking bankrupt when you decide to market the movie the same way? Like, okay, everybody's going to wander outside. They're going to look up at the sky in slow motion. A big, like, sweeping shadow is going to sweep across the city. They're all going to start running, and then a laser beam comes down and blows the White House up. And, like, I mean,
you're right. This, we don't know, with the exception of War of the Worlds, I think maybe the best of this genre recently. But I, Sony wanted to sue the makers of Skyline because they claimed they were really thought that Skyline, they were afraid Skyline was going to steal its thunder. And that doesn't seem to be the case at all after everyone saw Skyline. But I agree with you. It is a bankrupt, but I have to say, just, it does look interesting. That doesn't mean anything, but,
I guess creatively it's bankrupt, but financially it makes sense. Cause like Jamie said, apparently people like to see that kind of shit once in a while. Mm-hmm.
But will they want to see it again so soon, though? If they didn't go see Skyline, there's no guarantee they'll want to go see Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's
too
soon.
Probably not.
It's like a 9/11 movie. It's too soon, isn't it, Chris, for another...
Exactly. Too soon.
I'm going to picket the movie with too soon sides. Okay, well, Chris, I don't care who continues. Chris, why don't you continue since you're on a roll?
Okay. The next week, March 25th, Zack Snyder, Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
I like Zack Snyder. I gotta be honest. I didn't like 300 when it came out, and I liked Dawn of the Dead. I didn't like 300 that much, but I think he did a great job directing it, as good a job as anybody could have done. I like Watchmen, and I like him to make a Superman movie.
Right.
I think it's a great choice. Sucker Punch looks like something that could be popular. But it almost looks like overkill on the CGI a little bit. But that's kind of his specialty.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I don't know.
What 300 kind of was, you know, it's like it looks like an art director's wet dream, like 300 and Watchmen.
Yeah.
He's very good with the visuals. Now, the thing that makes this, I think, interesting is we finally get him doing his own original story, finally.
Yeah, and that doesn't look like much.
No, it doesn't. It looks borrowed from everything.
A bunch of hot chicks run around in lingerie and blow shit up.
How should we say? It's a big budget Andy Sedaris movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
McCarthy.
Yeah. Is Derek Estrada in it?
Yeah, okay. He might. No, we get Scott Glenn.
I'm waiting for the big budget Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
I'm there.
Chris Lemon.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another movie that week that comes out,
very interesting one. Very interesting movie coming out that week, The Beaver. We get to see Jodie Foster's Beaver. Mel Gibson's got his hand all up in Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Yes, and it's going to be fascinating. We're going to hear stuff about this movie early. Because it's premiering at South by Southwest.
Yeah, that's
we'll hear about it like a couple of weeks earlier, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I hear Mel Gibson's great in it, and I mean, why not? I mean, it's a little movie. It's definitely offbeat. A delusional guy that's dealing with some emotional stress, and he befriends a beaver puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Let me ask
The performance will carry it through.
Given the character in the movie and given where Mel has been at the last couple of years, is this all just a PR push for this movie? I mean, it's. I know that's very cynical, but it almost seems like reeks of Kevin Smith shenanigans with Cop Out almost. Seem like he's the parallels.
Well, he wasn't kicked off of a plane. He punched his girlfriend in the face.
Are you
going to
kick him off a plane? kick him off. I'm like, good, go for it.
It's a little different when you're punching your girlfriend in the face.
I know. If this is the thing, the anti-Semitism, the racial slurs. But if you hit a woman and hit a woman holding a baby, no, dude, that's it. You're over. It's going to take a while to really recover from that.
I wouldn't really have any idea, but. Yeah.
This movie strikes me as something that would have been a hard sell either way.
Yeah.
This would have been a hard sell. No, if none of this stuff had ever happened to Mel Gibson, it's certainly going to be a hard sell now.
I think any interest in the movie will be enhanced by this.
Yeah,
I think
controversy
the
is going.
You think the opposite? You think people will shun away from a movie they wouldn't otherwise see?
Yes, I think that ordinarily this is not the kind of movie that would get people to the theater. I think the fact that it has Mel Gibson in it, even if he is playing, you know, a crazy person with his hand in a beaver puppet, I don't think that's going to be enough. Like, I really do, and we had this conversation when this all went down with Mel Gibson, and we said, is he done? Like, is this going to bother people the way people were sort of bothered by Tom Cruise when he had his sort of meltdown on the couch or whatever? And I don't remember what I said at the time, but now I'm sort of, from what I've talked, conversation I've had with people, I do think that people are a little bit done with Mel Gibson. Now, that doesn't mean they're done with him forever, but I do think that they're a little bit done with him right now. In 5 years, if he were to make a Mad Max movie, he's not going to, but if you were to make a Mad Max movie or a Lethal Weapon movie, you know, or Maverick 2 or
a Lethal Weapon
like that,
could make it.
But they're talking to rebooting that.
Yeah, that, I'm saying that could work, but I don't think The Beaver is the movie that's going to get him back in.
No, you're right.
He'll be
back. Anaconda was funny in the chat room, says Mike Tyson was accused of rape and he's fine now.
Yeah, that's true. That's, I don't know how
he was,
but yeah, I mean,
convicted of rape. He was more than accused.
Yeah, I guess he was convicted, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the funniest lines in Saturday Night Live is when they unveiled Mike Tyson's facial tattoo, and he said Tyson told the press the tattoo is not finished, so don't pass judgment yet until the entire rape scene is filled out in his face.
Who was
that?
It's
got awful looking.
Colin Quinn?
No, Tina Fey.
Oh, okay. The next week, April 1st, is a movie that I don't know anything about, but I'm interested in it because it's directed by Duncan Jones, and I loved Moon.
Source Code.
Jake Gyllenhaal, Vera Farmiga, and I don't give a shit. I loved Moon that much.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really, more than anything, I mean, I like the story and I like the acting, but I really felt like you were in the hands of a good director in that movie. It was one of those kind of experiences. Let's see, also coming out that week, Hop, which is an animated movie about a bunny that takes over for the Easter Bunny.
And for the bunny
we'll
ranch.
That,
that's good.
Right. We'll file that under Who Gives a Shit.
Source Code, is this another, like, mind bender, like an Inception?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I don't know anything about
it. I just seen the trailer, that's all. I mean, okay. I can't make heads or tails, but it looks good.
How's the trailer?
It's a good trailer, but I just can't. It is kind of along those lines, kind of, but
okay.
It is.
Well, the editor's really high on it. I mean, the editor thinks he's an amazing talent that we talked to.
The next week is my favorite week of the year, but okay.
Absolutely. April 8th is Your Highness.
Another film now, I just realized, Hannah comes out that day, too.
Yeah, Hannah comes out, and also Arthur comes out that week, too, the remake of Arthur. But who gives a shit, because we'll all be watching Your Highness.
Midnight show. I'll definitely be
The funny. Highness does look hysterical.
Yeah.
Absolute funniest preview to come out in years. That
yep.
That
yes.
Movie. And,
now,
Hannah,
what is Hannah?
Thought? Hannah is the new movie by Joe Wright with Suar Serenon, about a 16-year-old girl who's raised by her father. To be a hit person.
It looks good.
David Gordon Green, like, if I would have told you 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, when he'd made All the Real Girls and Snow Angels and George Washington and that kind of shit, like, oh, by the way, in a couple of years, like, he'll probably be one of the most successful, like, slapstick comedy directors out there.
Yeah.
Like, you would have told me to go fuck myself, right? Like, there's no way anyone would.
Well, whether you
that.
Said that or not, yeah.
No, but if you when the Red Band trailer for Your Highness first debuted, if you went and read the comments on Deadline Hollywood, people were just they're the most bitter. They are industry people, obviously, but the most bitter people. They were all just saying, "Oh, David Gordon Green's a sellout. He's what happened to the wonderful art?" And those art house films are incredible. Four of them are just incredible films. But it's like he did something with Pineapple Express that, I mean, first of all, it's one of, I think, James Franco's best roles. But he did something. He made this switch, this just dramatic shift, and it was just unbelievable. He was the last person you'd think of. And as you're watching the movie, you're just like, my God, this guy really has a grip on comedy. It's amazing.
Well, exactly. And not only that, he didn't just make a smart comedy, because we've seen lots of smart comedy. You know, Being John Malkovich, an adaptation of the movie Spike Jonze makes, or the Charlie Kaufman script, those are smart comedies.
They
but
are.
They sort of chuckle cynically at them. He made a smart laugh out loud, like seriously hard, like ribs hurting laughter kind of smart comedy.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. You brought up something. You said cynical. That's one thing in the five films so far. His movies are not cynical. He does. He has such utmost respect for his characters, regardless
very much so.
Where they are. And the reason I bring this up, because the Sam Rockwell character in Snow Angels, if another director had done that, that might have been seen, that could have been done very condescendingly. But he treated him as equal, and with the utmost respect. I've always been impressed about that with him. He really cares about the people he puts on screen.
Well, it helps to have Sam Rockwell playing that.
Oh,
part.
Always, yeah.
Jamie, by the way, you're not too big on the Arthur remake, are you? Well
I love the original. I can turn on the original and laugh from start to finish. It makes me cry. I'm not high on the remake. I'll go see it. I mean, I think Russell Brand is probably one of those guys that is far more colorful and entertaining in person than he is in films. It's like a film can't convey all of that personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's very funny in interviews. I know that on the late night talk shows. The next week, April 15th, Scream 4. And this preview came out last week. Did you guys watch it?
I haven't seen it yet. I have not watched it yet.
I was blown away by how completely unoriginal it seemed. Like, when I heard that Wes Craven was going to go back and do Scream 4, I thought, oh, okay, he must have a real interesting angle on it, something different that he wants to do. It doesn't look different at all. I mean, it might not be. The preview might be selling it short, but did you feel anything different from what was in Scream 1, 2, or 3 in that, Jamie?
No, same stuff. If you want to see a new Scream movie, you got a new one, which is the same as the old one. What irks me, though, is I really like the idea, because they started, if you remember those first two Scream movies, they didn't reveal who the opening actress was. You know, the big...
It was a guest turn
in the opening, yeah.
Yeah.
This one, it seems pretty obviously billed for...
Yeah, Hayden Panettiere.
Anna Paquin's in it.
Everything seems like a lot of people are in it, but... Is it?
Maybe.
But you guys are saying it's just absolutely... Isn't it then a victim of... Or it's become what it's parodied in the first one, essentially?
Well, I think we hit that point by the second movie.
I think by the second it became. And that's why the third one, just with the exception of the Jay and Silent Bob cameo, I remember absolutely nothing about it. But it just seems like
so hard to make.
I don't know why you do four. I mean,
it's so hard to make a horror slash something movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the slash part detracts from the horror part of it, like, inevitably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think they accomplished it with the first movie. They really did. But it's just not lightning that you can get twice, I think.
And definitely not four times.
Not four times.
It's a parody. It really does just like a really bad parody of a parody at this point. I was really surprised when they first announced it. I was like, really? That's what we're going back to this well? I mean...
But then you thought, what? Oh, okay, well, if we are going back to the well, they must have something new. I'm telling you, they don't. Like, you watch the preview, and it's like, well, okay, that's just another Scream movie. Like, I mean, it literally, like, they lay out all the rules and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, don't say, I'll be right back. Like, it's all the same shit. Like, it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. True.
April 22nd, Tyler Perry drops another big deuce on the movie theaters. Madea's Big Happy Family. So this thing will easily rake in 60, 70 million, something like that, right? I mean, you know, except no one will claim that it's a good movie. Steven Soderbergh seems like he's got another one of his sort of little movies coming out that week, Haywire.
Also Water for Elephants comes out.
Steven Soderbergh? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, Haywire.
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh's got two movies coming out this year, I think, and Haywire is one of them.
What is Haywire?
A double-crossed while on a mission in Dublin, an elite Black Ops agent relies on her arsenal of skills in order to get back to the States to protect her family and exact revenge on those who betrayed her. So it sounds like Bourne Identity meets the Liam Neeson movie, whatever that was.
Taken?
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, Born Taken.
I'll stick to Contagion. Contagion seems like the Soderbergh movie to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I'm interested in. Yeah, and Jerry's right. Water for Elephants, the film version of the famous book, comes out that next week. Got Robert Pattinson in it, and Christoph Waltz, and Reese Witherspoon. So, but I sort of feel like literary adaptations aren't doing so well these days, unless they're about, unless they're about teenage vampires or teenage sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really see, whether it was the Augustine Burroughs book, Running with Scissors, or even The Lovely Bones, which was fucking huge book, and the adaptations just sort of don't really do that well. And I feel, if I were going to make a guess, I would say that this sort of falls into that same category.
It's a tough one. It's released at such an odd time for such a high prestige film.
Mm-hmm.
The last week of April is not when I would have thought this would either be. Maybe in the fall, I was thinking.
Yeah,
but
it's counter programming.
Yeah, it is counter programming. There's no doubt about that. But it just seems like this is a movie you have high hopes for, and it seems like they're just dumping it almost.
Yeah, probably so.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, April 29th, Fast Five, the new Fast and the Furious movie. I feel like that just got one of these out of theaters. Like,
yeah, and,
this, and
maybe
The
Rock is in this, right?
The Rock in it. Yeah, The Rock's in this, and he just made a movie called Faster, and now he did Fast Five, and we just had another Fast and Furious movie. I don't know. This is not for me.
Yeah, this is like outtakes from Faster, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it, but I'm sure it's going to make a lot of money. But not for very long, because then May 6th, Thor comes out. Kenneth Branagh's Thor.
Okay.
So now we're officially into the summer movie season here.
What do we think, and we can kill two birds with one stone, when does Captain America come out? Is that later summer?
End of July.
Okay.
They got a couple months between them.
Is Marvel going to fail this year? Does anyone care about Thor and Captain America?
I don't care, but I don't think that matters, because I do think that the movies are still going to be very, very popular. I don't think they're going to be... we haven't seen a preview for Captain America yet, but the preview for Thor looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't look awful. It doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to look.
Yeah, it looks much better than I thought. And I think Captain America might be the same, although didn't the director, Joe Johnson, say he thinks it's a great film?
Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing when I read that. I was like, ooh. Kiss of Death. I don't give a shit. I know what you're saying. Like, while I say that the preview doesn't look that bad, Jamie, I don't give a shit. If I don't see it, I'm not going to really care. And I read Thor when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think it's going to be a big hit regardless. I just feel like it's like going to the beach. Like, around this time of year, people want to go to the beach. They start getting the drive. It's hot outside. I want to go to the beach. And they also sort of want to go see a big comic book movie, and I think this could be the
one. Well, I guess I think this is the test of their mettle more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Iron Man wasn't necessarily, it wasn't a Superman property, and
right.
they proved it with that. But Thor, and especially something like Captain America, just like leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. Just the character name, Captain America.
Well, it's I have a problem with both of these movies, and it really starts with The Incredible Hulk, and it's in Iron Man 2 as well, really. And these movies are, and I've said this before on the show, but these movies are essentially two-hour advertisements for the Avengers movie. It's not even like, they feel like they're more like chat plot points, really, more than anything else.
To the studio, yes. I think the studio does look at them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they also want these projects to be individually successful. And I don't think that is fair to someone like Kenneth Branagh. Like, I don't think that Kenneth Branagh would come out of, essentially, retirement.
You're right.
To make a preview for someone else's movie.
No, you're right.
There's nothing that tells us that movie is going to be very successful. I mean, Avengers is a superhero team that's built up of Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk and Thor and Captain America, and, like, so far, Iron Man is the only one that's been a successful franchise.
Yeah.
So I think they look at these individually, too.
I think I would hope you're right, because it would be a shame, because when you do something like this, and when you are obviously building up to that, and, like, there is no proof that Avengers movie will be good. There's no And it's a big risk to take, but it just seems like it's all building up to that. And when you do that, at least, or give that perception, you have to make that build up, like a climax of any film or any property, be really out of this world fantastic. And
I think Thor will be a really lackluster way to start the summer.
You think
there
so?
You go, folks. There, you heard it here first from Jamie Duval.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make another prediction about a movie coming out the next week. And it's a little known movie. Called Bridesmaids. Comes out on May 13th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live, Maya Rudolph.
Oh, that would be good.
Live, and it's got John Hamm in it. And it's just sort of a comedy written by Kristen Wiig about bridesmaids, like
mm-hmm.
this like group of bridesmaids and the bride and like sort of hijinks and that sort of thing. It's a comedy. John Hamm is the groom. I think that this could be one of the sort of sleeper comedies of the summer, sort of like a la Devil Wears Prada or Mamma Mia.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It could be.
Could be counter-programming that really works.
Great.
I think it absolutely works.
Priest, I guess, the movie Priest in 3D. I didn't know we needed that in 3D either, but yeah.
Yeah.
Priest in 3D? What?
Yeah, Priest in
3D. Priest in 3D.
With
little boys, pull your pants up.
Yeah, I know. You keep seeing trailers about vampires. It's futuristic, right? It's a futuristic. It's based on the acclaimed graphic novel. It says on the ad, and I didn't know there was a graphic novel, but yeah.
Well, that's pretty graphic if it involves a priest.
Wait, it's not that kind of movie, Jamie. Just go stay home and watch.
There will be sucking, but it won't be blood.
Okay.
But the next week is big. The big. We got two big ones, actually. We got a lot of big ones coming out in this month.
Yeah, we got big ones. Pirates of the Caribbean comes out the
next
week. The Rob Marshall is directing another pirate movie. It's got Johnny Depp in it with makeup on his face. I don't know. I feel the way about this. Like, I know it's going to be a big hit. Like, no, you know, I know everybody's going to go see it. I couldn't be less interested. I could not be less interested.
Let me ask you this, because there is something now. There is a new. I actually watched the third one again. It was on, of all places, Sci-Fi, and I noticed myself getting really wrapped up in it. Maybe because I was in the comfort of my own home and everything, could switch channels. But I was getting wrapped up in it. Do you think now? And I know this is a weird thing to ask, that Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley are not in it. You don't think that will matter?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. No, I don't think it will make a single bit. Do you?
I would actually prefer, because I got to be honest with you. I do think Johnny Depp is great in these movies, but I don't know, he's just not, for me, he's not doing it for me lately, you know? I know this seems like one of these, like almost like a desperate, there's going to be three more of these movies now, we found out.
Mm.
And I do think Ian McShane is a great touch. I think that's a great thing. I think Penelope Cruz, but I don't know, part of me is really excited, another part of me could really care less. I mean,
yeah, I know Ian McShane's in it, but isn't he going to be buried under like a squid face or something like that?
Ian McShane was also in Scoop. But, you know, I think that the it so doesn't matter that we're, like, blah on it.
Yeah,
because
it's going
to make it.
This is, like, billions of dollars of franchise material here. It's clearly a movie that people love. I mean, do they? I mean, have you talked to people that honestly loved the last one, which was the most
younger than me? Really love these movies. The 10 years younger than me, they really love
that
trilogy.
Incomprehensible.
I live with a woman that's 3 years older than me that loves these movies. All three of them.
Well, then I won't insult those people.
I
respect for you.
I get it.
No, I feel the same way. I don't understand.
Did you contemplate divorce at all when she told you she loved the pirate movies?
I contemplated rape.
Jeez.
Wow, okay, you heard that on this show, folks. And I did not say that, by the way. This is not the Four Horsemen. I did not say it on this show. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
Dear God, let's go to the next
me.
Week. Let's
That's
go quick to the next week.
All right, Hangover Part 2 is the next week.
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah, what can you say, really? Again, I think it's going to be a big, successful movie. And it'll probably be funny.
Oh, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it will be. The next week after that, well, actually, it's the next day, May 27th, Kung Fu Panda 2. Again, I like the first Kung Fu Panda. You know, well done.
Kung Panda Harder. Is that the name of it?
Kung Pao Panda?
Yeah.
Kung Pao Kung Pao Panda. That's great.
Also,
okay.
Then, in limited release is Terrence Malick's Tree of Life.
There you go.
Oh,
okay. Another one.
All right.
Interested. First movie you've been interested in on this list, Jamie?
Yes. That's my first must-see. That's my first must-see. Man, what a perfect summer movie.
That is. Now, that's another one, though. Let me ask you guys this. That's another one, though. But it is great. It's awesome counter-programming. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you couldn't ask for better counter-program. But doesn't this also seem like something that would have been better in the fall?
In the fall.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely.
Because this is the big Oscar. This is the big thing that you want to push for Oscar.
Well, I love the way you said that.
But I'm being dead fucking.
Did you say that? Did you say that with jazz hands, Dre? This is
no,
the kind of movie you want to push.
I actually said that with my fist up in the air, but I almost hit the computer screen. But no, you should watch. You should watch me doing the Four Horsemen. That's a really interesting. Thank God that's on video.
I want to see Tree of Life, and it looks like it's ethereal. I mean, it just looks like transporting this movie. And I'm not huge on Terry Malick. I love the last one he did with Colin Farrell.
The New World.
I love Badlands, and I think that he's been overrated in between those two movies. But this looks like he might live up to his full potential, like I've seen him in those two movies that I love of his, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's a great preview, but the Thin Red Line preview was great, too, and that movie was very, very flawed. I'm just hoping it's not in Terry Malick style, like literally a two-hour shot or a three-hour shot of a tree, you know? Like it seems like somebody would do.
Oh, my
very
God.
Terrence Malick.
Oh, my God, you guys are saying, it's like, no, I mean, I agree, you know, I agree with a lot of this because I am not a huge Terrence Malick fan, but I am excited. There is a sense of excitement about this movie, and the trailer is very mesmerizing. So
yeah.
I'm curious. It has me like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. June 3rd, the next week, X-Men First Class.
Is it really First Class?
Yeah, First
it
Class.
It could be
yeah.
good, but I feel odd. It feels so odd to have a reboot of this as well.
Who directed?
Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn.
That's the best thing you can say about it.
And Michael Fassbender's Magneto. That's cool, too. But
Yeah, and Jennifer
Lawrence.
Is it
a reboot?
It is a reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're changing some of the canon from the last three movies. Like, they're just definitely changing some of the storylines and things like that in order to make this movie. Yeah.
Is January Jones in this?
Yes, she is.
Who does she play?
She plays the White Queen, right? Something like that.
Okay, all right.
She was in the Golden Globes last week, too. Was she ever?
Hell yeah, she was. Emma Frost.
Bada boom.
Oh, she plays Emma Frost. Okay, Emma Frost. Okay.
Yeah, plays Emma Frost.
Isn't it time to reboot anything once Brett Ratner gets a hold of it? That's what I take.
Well, we don't play favorites on the show, folks. We don't.
You know what I was thinking?
He's a lovely guy.
He's a very good guy.
Brett has got to be the worst name right now to have. Because you got, like, Brett Ratner, who's, like, the worst director in the world. You got Brett Favre, who's, like, taking pictures of his cock and never retiring. You got Brett Michaels on TV, who's, like, covering up the fact that he's bald and, like, you know, he's trying to bang all these whores. Like, man, I'm glad my name is not Brett.
Oh, my God.
Brett
don't
Summers,
name your kids Brett.
Her reputation is unscathed at this point, isn't it?
Who is that? Who's?
The chick on Match Game, Brett Summers.
Nice.
I'm sorry. All right. I guess it was too early of a reference. Okay.
Yeah, maybe so.
Brett Ratner needs an enema, says someone in the chat room. And that enema is his filmography, I think.
You guys are hilarious, man.
He was very nice on the show to us, and we screwed him over by putting him in the New York Post with that awful headline. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Red Dragon was a good movie. The guy can make a good movie. He just chooses not to. June 10th, J.J. Abrams, Super 8. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah.
I love J.J. Abrams. Mm-hmm. He's really becoming kind of the next high praise, but he really is kind of the next Steven Spielberg, I think. Sort of anything he touches, it might not be your favorite, but you know it's going to have quality to it. Like,
true.
Like J.J.
No,
Abrams'
right.
name on something means it's going to be at least quality.
Okay.
You think so? You don't think so?
I think he's on... I don't know. I haven't been whatever that word is, impressed by anything he's done.
But...
He likes you?
I know, like...
He likes me.
I just think between...
Well, that changes everything.
Between Alias and Lost and Fringe mm-hmm. and the Mission Impossible movie, he just sort of doesn't really make stuff that is, you know...
I like his TV stuff. I think his TV stuff is very bold. I think Mission Impossible 3 is a confident movie. I think we like it as much as we do because it got the taste of Mission Impossible 2 out of our mouths. I don't think it's...
We've said before, it's nowhere near as good as the first Mission Impossible movie, but it definitely felt a lot more quality than Mission Impossible 2 did. Yeah, you know?
Actually, I think there's a lot of cinematic promise that J.J. Abrams has that hasn't been realized yet, and maybe his collaboration with Spielberg on Super 8 will bring that about for him.
What about Star Trek? Oh, you didn't like Star Trek. That's right, you didn't like Star Trek. Okay.
I think Star Trek was well done, as well done as something I really don't care about could possibly be.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's an honest, very honest answer, yeah.
All right, June 17th.
We're all about honesty on the show.
Absolutely. Shut the fuck up. Green. I'm just kidding. Quiet while I'm talking. I love you, Jerry.
I love you too, Chris.
All right. June 17th, Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds. Finally going to have a big hit for Ryan Reynolds, maybe?
I don't know.
Or will it be Buried?
Oh.
Ooh, that was a good movie, man. Buried was a good movie.
I'd love to see it, actually, yeah.
It was good.
Green Lantern, Green Hornet.
Green Slime.
Yeah. I sort of feel the way about it.
I don't know just because, I mean, like a lot of like now here we get to the fanboys were like really making fun of the trailer and everything. I don't know that much about the comic. I remember watching a cartoon when I was younger. It looks okay, but I think we have to really, you know, with these films, I look at them like this when our parents went to the Saturday matinees, you know, on the weekends when they were kids. I look at these movies, a lot of these movies like that. These are like good Saturday afternoon films, you know, for kids to see on the weekends or something. And that's what I look at them as. I think the problem is that we've had some great directors like Chris Nolan set the bar so high.
Yes.
Or Bryan Singer. That it's we then value, we look at all these things, but you remember for every Dark Knight there is a Ghost Rider, you know,
yeah.
For every
Dark Knight, obviously, there are several Ghost Riders.
Yeah,
the hit and miss is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember it was our friend of ours, Royce Clemens, who said when he was reviewing that film a long time ago, said, these are the comics that were actually in the bottom of the pile. You know, these are the titles that were in the bottom that were collecting dust. You weren't eager.
And when you're beating a dead genre, that's what you resort to. When you got to come up with a superhero movie every season, you got to go to the bottom of the pile or go to a reboot. You know.
Yeah. And the reboot while I am curious about X-Men First Class, it is this disturbing trend that we're rebooting things not even within a decade. It's less than a decade, it seems now.
Okay, here's a quick question. Yeah. All I want is a yes, I approve, or no. The announcement this week, Anne Hathaway is Catwoman and Tom Hardy is Bane in the next Batman.
Yes.
I can't give an answer that's yes, I approve, or no. It's not that simple.
With reservations?
Yes, with reservations. Yes, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a lot more to say about that, but we don't have time right now. Also
yeah,
in June... Also in June, the sequel to Cars, you know, Pixar, that'll be a big hit. I don't care so much about Cars, but that'll be a big hit. Probably pretty good. July 1st, Transformers sequel, Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Which Michael Bay has been very honest about in saying that, look, that second movie sucked. This one, I guarantee, is much better. You know, he's tried to endear himself in some way.
Can't,
you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when you have a friend who's, you're at a party when you're young, and like he gets a little bit too drunk at the party and fucking vomits on the pool table and then goes outside and takes a shit in the living room. And then the next morning he wakes up, he's like, oh, fucking shit, I'm sorry I did that, I won't do it again. You know, like, it's like, yeah, of course you have to apologize. We all know it was bad.
Yeah.
Like, we all know what you did, Michael Bay. You took a shit in the living room.
Another stunning analogy.
Yeah, that is an awesome analogy. But I just want to say this, like, Transformers 2 was a bad movie, and it was everything.
Yeah.
It was like almost a, you know, it was a parody of a Michael Bay movie, if there's such a thing. But having said that, and I don't think there's nothing great about the movie, I was just like, the people complaining about the fans complaining about it, I was like, all right, guys, just wait. We're talking about a movie where things turn into cars or robots turn into these things or whatever. Let's just ratchet down the dial a little bit here. This is not anything like hardcore greatness. It's just a movie about things that change into other things, all right? But, yeah, it is bad. Don't get me wrong. But I just thought the complaints I was listening to from the fans, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I'd love to see Michael Bay transform into a decent director. I like his... I like his work ethic, you know? I like that he likes to be over the top and
yeah.
He's so kind of ambitious. I just want some kind of discipline to make a good movie mixed in with that.
I agree. I'll bet he will one day, but this won't be it.
No, this isn't it. I think the Bad Boys 2 was the closest we'll get to that. And I actually think that's a fun. That is, as far as Michael Bay movies go, that's a fun, but that is over the top. But it doesn't feel quite as though the parody that would come later of those.
Yeah.
But I don't know. All right, we spent too much time talking about this.
All right. Also that week, a new Tom Hanks directorial, Larry Crown.
That's
so,
right.
That's
okay.
I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, you know. I'm kind of interested. We should be seeing a preview for a lot of these movies soon, and that's one that I'm sort of interested in seeing a preview for.
Tom Hanks directs and stars in with Julia Roberts.
Exactly. Also that month, new Kevin James movie, The Zookeeper. Hey,
God bless Kevin James.
Is he turning into the fat Rob Schneider?
Absolutely is. Absolutely
is. Oh God,
is.
You guys are cruel.
Oh come on, Zookeeper! You know you could.
Oh, it's
seriously
gonna suck.
Take...
I mean, it's gonna suck. But don't look. I mean, the man at least got in the dilemma. He's with Winona Ryder, which I don't know how that's possible. But I mean, you know.
And that is the only funny thing about that movie.
Oh. Vince Vaughn, where have you gone? Also, there's a movie comes out, One for the Money, I think, comes out that same day.
It does.
Is that based on the Janet Ivanovich novels?
I have no idea.
Shoot me. Just shoot me if you... Oh, wait. Wait a second. The description I'm reading has no cast announced yet. Okay, forget
that. Well. It's Katherine Heigl, and yes, it is the Janet Ivanovich.
Oh my God!
Novel.
She really didn't want her franchise to have a future. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. If we're all on our periods at the same, if we're all menstruating at the same time, we can go see that together.
Oh God!
All right, July 15th, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Probably going to be the biggest hit of the year. I'm
guessing.
Yes.
So we can all say goodbye to everything else.
So that's definitely a must on your list.
They're releasing Winnie the Pooh the same day.
I don't think that's the same audience. I think
that's
for the really young kids, and then, you know, Harry Potter is, we got to be honest, it's more for the adults at this
point.
Oh,
it is. You're right. You're absolutely right.
But yes, Winnie the Pooh is going to be released on the same day. And speaking of Pooh, Captain America comes out on July 22nd. So,
such
nothing
consistency.
Else.
Yeah, and Friends with Benefits comes out the same day.
Yeah, it does.
All right, I'm excited. All right, I'm excited to see that. Okay.
Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. You know, they could both be coming off of Oscar nominations. Probably not, but she probably will be. And they're both coming off of, you know, a couple of good years.
Yeah.
That could be an interesting little comedy. I like both of them very much.
July 29th.
Cowboys and Aliens, July 29th.
Oh. What are our feelings about this?
I just don't. I mean, it's literally the same thing. Like, except for people walking out in Los Angeles and looking up in the sky and seeing the shadow, it's cowboys walking out of the saloon with, a bottle of whiskey and looking up in the sky and a shadow sweeps across the fucking, tombstone.
It's not enough?
Just, No, it's not enough for me.
You don't. I'm very curious about it. My interest has gone up since the trailer. So that's.
I think it could be a really funny genre bending kind of ride.
It could be, and it's got a great. It really does have a great cast that includes Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Sam Rockwell, Paul Dano, Clancy Brown, Olivia Wilde. Like, it's got a really good cast, and Jon Favreau. You know, he's made some good shit.
Yeah.
Also made some good shit. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we'll make sure we put that quote on the poster.
Yeah, I think that quote's on the poster. Definitely.
We're so quotable on this show.
I know. Into August 5th, The Smurfs, which I guess that'll be like the Chipmunks of this year. It'll probably be a really big hit.
The Smurfs.
I don't
animated,
I don't
computer animated. What? What's going on there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a mix of computer animation and live action, I believe.
Oh, but we get The Sitter. The Sitter comes out that day, too.
The Shitter.
No, I said The Sitter. with Jonah Hill and.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. That the other David Gordon Green film this year.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Wait, directed by David Gordon Green?
Yeah, directed by David Gordon Green. Yeah, they was hoping that there'd be a more at least like a. With the original thing was Your Highness was going to come out in October, and this would come out, I think this was originally in June or July, but they pushed this back to August because it was just too close to Your Highness.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm.
I want a dark Smurfs movie. That's what I want. That's what I want to see.
Oh, you just want to see Smurfette get fucked silly. That's all you want to see.
Wow.
Jeez, God. We are over the top tonight.
That would
We're just having fun. I mean, it's all fun and games, folks. Don't let your kids show.
Because they should really be like the dark side of the Muppets, right? The Smurfs, I mean, there's something. They're little, they're blue, they're pissed off. It looks like they've all been, you know, abused with 2,000 flushes. It's
nice.
It's about time they make a Smurfs movie, though. It really is.
Yeah, I've been losing sleep about that for like 5 years now. Might explain
a lot. Long overdue. August 12th, 30 minutes or less, new movie by Ruben Fleischer, the guy that made Zombieland. It's got Jesse Eisenberg, Danny McBride, Nick Swardson. That'll probably be a popular comedy.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Love Zombieland.
Great movie.
Yeah, very, again, like, well-directed. Like, you felt like you were in the hands of a very capable director.
That's an example of a genre-bending movie that I hope Cowboys and Aliens is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
August 19th, Fright Night. Yeah. Again,
oh, yeah.
Movie that, Jamie, you're kind of interested in, right? Were you a big fan of the Fright Night, the original?
Yeah. I really like it. I mean, I have very fond feelings for it. It's not a movie I'll go back to and say, God, that was awesome. But I have very fond feelings for that movie. And I have really good vibes about Colin Farrell playing that role.
Yeah. Yeah. I have good vibes about it. It's one of those movies that was on HBO, like, every day when I was a kid, when I was, like, you know, 9, 10 years old. So I feel the same way. Also in August, Conan the Barbarian, the remake, Marcus Nispel directing.
That could be interesting. That could be.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I hope they keep the influence of the originals, you know, that sort of very hard edge kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know
I don't know. I think we might be on the right track, but didn't Marcus Nepil do that other movie a couple years ago, like The Sword? So if it's in that, if he sticks to that, that was very influenced by Conan. So maybe he's the right guy for this.
Yeah, maybe. He could be. The rest of August gives us an idea where we're at in Hollywood. Spy Kids 4, Final Destination 5.
Another Final Destination? I thought the last one was supposed to be the final one.
When is it going to be the Final Destination? That's what
I
want
to die.
You know, one of them's going to have like a subtitle like Final Destination 7. Seriously, this is the final one. So, again, that'll probably make some money.
Yeah.
Let's see here. September 9th. Warrior, Gavin O'Connor with Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte.
Oh.
Joel Edgerton.
Wow.
Nolte. Hell yeah.
Man, Nolte, man.
Man, I just get a smile on my face. Talk about fond feelings from my youth. Whenever I see Nolte in a movie, I just get a very fond sort of feeling. You know?
To GHB.
was hanging out with scientists.
Wait. Wow. Okay, wait a sec. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking ahead to next week. And
hang on.
Kinda...
We're not done doing our Nick Nolte. Hang on.
Nick Nolte impression is arguably better than most of the movies that are coming out next year.
Danny,
yeah.
Did he touch you?
Also in September, the Straw Dogs remake by Rod Lurie.
Very interesting.
Marston.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It does sound like Sweet Home Alabama, though, a very violent version of that.
I guess
I don't,
so.
I mean,
I guess
just
so.
A violent
drive.
Version of Sweet Home Alabama.
That's what you described it to me when you last year. When, and I love Rod
yes.
Lurie, and
yes.
I love the interview we did with him. But when you described the plot to me, where it really has not
absolutely.
Much to do, it does. I said that to you. I was like, oh, my God, it's, you know.
He has changed it in a way, just its kind of structure, that does sound like it could just as easily be a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those things, like, I would not give a shit. In fact, I would probably be angry if it did not have Rod Lurie involved. The fact that Rod Lurie's
yeah.
there is a little bit comforting. Still not sold yet, but I'm willing
if it's
to...
If it's really good, it could be one of those nomination performances for Kate Bosworth, because apparently she goes in places in this movie that are very extreme and difficult.
Yeah, she does.
Well,
yeah,
so does Jessica Alba and The Killer Inside Me. No one was really another remake. Didn't see them breaking down the door for that one.
Yeah. September 23rd, a movie that I think could be popular, that Taylor Lautner kid from the Twilight movies, got his own. He's finally got his own starring role, action movie called Abduction. Directed by John Singleton, which is kind of interesting. But that kid, I do think, is going to... I don't think that he's going to have a long career. Or I don't. Maybe he will. I don't know. But I do think for the next 5 years or so, we're going to see quite a... He's going to be the new Vin Diesel or the new, you know, The Rock or something like that.
Mm.
See a lot of movies with him.
Finally, Taylor Lautner's Taken. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, exactly. That's
what about Piranha
what
3 Double D? We didn't talk about that, or Johnny English Reborn.
Yeah, that was an intentional move.
Oh, okay. Or Drive, the Ryan Gosling film comes out, too.
Do you have anything to say about any of those? I didn't know
English needed to be reborn. I thought the first one was fine. I didn't know there was anything else to really add to the story.
What is the Piranha 3 Double D? I mean, I guess that movie was cheap enough so that it became profitable, but...
Yeah, they didn't pay the special effects people.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. They didn't. They never got paid.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make it a sequel. So.
That's great.
Neither did the audience, by the way.
Moneyball.
We also get a Moneyball movie, finally, and it's directed by Bennett Miller. It's got Brad Pitt in it, after all, Robin Wright, Jonah Hill. This is one of those long gestating projects, but oftentimes these long gestating projects, they sort of come out, and it's like, oh, all right, well, that's what that was all about. You know what I mean? Like, what was that movie that finally came out? Like, Miramax had, like, the bidding war with it. It finally came out. Like, Hugh Jackman's, like, From Another Time or something like that. It's a romantic comedy.
Kate and Leopold.
Yes. In that book by what's his name, Down and Dirty Pictures,
Biskin.
They talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Biskin. They talk a lot about how there was a huge bidding war for years on that movie, trying to get it made. Finally got it made. It's like, all right, well, that got made.
Why doesn't anyone make Honey Bear, I Love You? I mean, it's always been written as written up as the greatest unproduced screenplay of all time. It's been around for decades. Why hasn't anybody produced it?
I don't know.
All right.
We'll explore that next show.
For a long time. Yeah, next show. let's see. Roland Emmerich's got a new movie coming out in September called Anonymous.
What Blows Up Now?
Huh?
What Blows Up Now?
Look at this. A political thriller. Interesting. Set at the cusp of the Essex Rebellion against Queen Elizabeth I. What? Centered on Earl of Oxford, Edward de Vere, positioned here as the author of William Shakespeare's plays? What the fuck? That doesn't sound like a Roland Emmerich movie.
Dude, is this like his doppelganger? His other, like, the intelligent one finally comes out. As the long-lost twin.
Roland Emmerich had a stroke.
Oh, that's not funny, dude. That is not, oh, God, that's horrible.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
No, but Roland Emmerich is, he's the guy who really brought back that sweeping alien shadow across the city, you know.
All right.
So.
You heard it here first. Roland Emmerich. I'm Chip Martindale. Good evening.
Hi, Chip.
Okay, what's going on now?
I have no right. idea.
October 7th, Real Steel with Hugh Jackman. Interesting.
Real Steel.
Project.
Oh, it's
about
like
the robots, right?
The robots right. that fight in a ring and they bet on them, or I don't know. Jesus.
That was,
yeah.
it was called Robot Jocks or something back in the 80s.
I know, but Jamie's right. Essentially, it just feels like so. That's what I mean about this year. Like, everything seems like, it's another movie about robots fighting. Like, yeah, okay, they do it in a ring this time, and Hugh Jackman's, like, you know, got a fistful of money and he's screaming at him, but, like, so what? Like, it's another robots fighting movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's directed by Sean Levy, if that means anything.
Not the Sean Levy, that's my friend, the other Sean Levy.
Right.
Yes.
The far less talented one.
Let's see, Footloose remake by Craig. Have we mentioned any movies that were not sequels or remakes yet? I feel like we have not.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Do kids latch on to? Do teenagers latch on to movies like we used to in our childhood with Footloose?
I don't
and
think they do.
John Hughes movies and
they do, but with different types of movies though.
Maybe so, but I don't think they do to the degree that we did, because I
right.
think it's just too disposable these days. It's like you don't have to work to go see it. I mean, I do think there's people that love movies as much as we do, but I feel like they don't latch on to like the movies as individual gems the way that we did. You know what I mean? Like they just,
when was the last time a teen
it?
Movie became a part of pop culture, right? That was made for teens. I don't know.
I
That's
don't
a
know
good,
either.
Good point. And Chris brought up a brilliant, disposable is the right word to use. You're absolutely right. That's a really good word to use to describe it.
Disposable,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same day, another remake, Three Musketeers by Paul W.S. Anderson.
There's been so many versions of that.
I know. Could the two Paul Andersons be any further apart, by the way? The two, like, completely
true.
Different spectrum, like, completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
That goes for my interest in their work, too. October 21st is Contagion, the Steven Soderbergh movie we were talking about. Another one I'm
Woo-hoo!
Very interested to see a preview for.
Good, very good.
Matt Damon, Kate Winslet, Jude Law, Center
oh,
for Disease
awesome.
Control
yeah.
dispatches an international team of doctors to stop an airborne virus from spreading around the world.
I think
yeah.
that'll be great. I'm excited about that. An international movie, you know, all these different
yeah.
locations and great cast, the confidence of Steven Soderbergh, who is really good at offbeat movies and genre movies, standard,
yeah.
confident, reliable genre movies. And this sounds like one of those.
And Soderbergh has said that he thinks of it as a horror movie. So that's interesting.
Oh, that's good. It's good. Well, yeah, it is horrific.
Yeah, it definitely is. Just
Did
like
we
those
skip the
have.
Thing? Did we skip the thing or...
The thing got rescheduled, I believe, to later in the year, so we might be
okay.
looking at two different lists here.
Okay, because I have it. I have it for October 14th.
Oh,
okay.
I have it under shitty remakes. No one's going to want to see.
I'm curious about that one more so than just because yeah, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Okay, I just gave that away. Wait, Contagion is in 3D.
Is it really?
I don't think so.
It's no, on the list I'm looking at, it says 3D. Please, oh, God, Soderbergh doing 3D? Oh, my, well, it could be interesting. I mean, wow.
If it's filmed in 3D, I will say that we've talked a lot about the difference between, you know, the 3D conversion and filmed in 3D, just like everybody has. But if anybody were going to set out to experiment with a different kind of filmmaking, I would be very interested to see Steven Soderbergh do it. Because
right.
as a filmmaker, I don't know that there's anybody that's more experimental than he's like a fucking scientist of film.
Yeah. Well, whether it comes out on October 14th or not, let's just pay lip service to the thing here, the thing remake. We all love the Carpenter.
Let's put our
version.
Lips around the thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I've been doing for years. No, never mind.
We all love the Carpenter version?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really
do
like it, too.
I do, too, and it was the thing about the thing is it's so creepy. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just have a – like, over time, it holds up. Not just as scary, but as truly no pun intended, get under your skin, creepy, like just like ugh. So, and I just have a hard time believing that they might be able to make a scary, decent remake, but they won't be able to.
I can't think of better practical horror effects than Carpenter's The Thing. Absolutely,
that scene in the dog cage, like that's a classic horror movie scene. I mean, that's up there with the shower scene in Psycho.
But don't you feel like we'll be walking out of the remake of The Thing talking about how much we love the John Carpenter version of The Thing?
I think that's a fair thing.
Exactly.
Who's behind this, though? Who's behind this?
The Thing remake, I don't know. We'll have to get on that, because like I said, it's not on this part.
Okay, let me see if I can find... I just have the cast. I don't have the directors on my list.
Wow. Well, yeah.
By the way,
that's always a good sign.
The Paranormal Activity sequel also comes out on the same day as Contagion.
Oh, I think
The Thing remake is Mathis Van Heningen Jr.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. You know, Paranormal Activity 3. I love the second one, but. I was like, okay. After the first one, I was like, no, they can't make another one. After the second one, I was like, wow, that was actually really effective, but there's no way they can make a third one. And I really mean it this time. there's no way they can make a third one.
That's the subtitle for the movie, Paranormal Activity. I really mean it this time. on October 28th is Andrew Niccol's new movie. I love Andrew Niccol, and I will see any movie he makes, even if once in a while he makes something like Simone or Sim 1 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think he's one of those really original sort of directors of our time, and I think he's got a really great mind, and I like the way he makes movies. It's called Now. It's got Justin Timberlake, Amanda Seyfried, and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, that's a great. That looks good. I'm really intrigued. Anything he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Gattaca. Gattaca is just such a good movie.
And Lord of War, both.
Lord of War is very good, too. That's probably the last, you know, really decent.
Yes. I love Lord of War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all Andrew Niccol right there. I mean, that's what I mean when I say he's an original mind. He can make stuff like Gattaca and Lord of War.
Yeah, yeah.
November 4th, Puss in Boots, Shrek spinoff.
What did you just say?
Puss in Boots. Hell yeah. Sometimes I like to, well, never mind. All right. Same day is a new movie from Brett Ratner.
Tower Heist?
Yep. Got a good cast. Eddie Murphy, Ben Stiller, Casey Affleck. Group of hardworking guys find out they've fallen victim to a wealthy businessman's Ponzi scheme. They conspire to rob his high-rise residence. It seems like the kind of movies that Brett Ratner should be making. You know what I mean?
Something he could, he could pull this off.
What a backhanded compliment.
Well, that you come to the right show there.
Oh, that was not a compliment. I think it looks horrible. I'm kidding. I think he's more suited to not doing the serious action stuff, but doing sort of, you know, I mean, the Rush Hour movies are not bad movies. Like, they're good, they're decent little, like, sort of action comedies. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he should sort of stick to action comedies and sort of stay away from Family Man and X-Men movies and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's right. He did Family Man.
I think he should stay away from just
the camera.
Yes, that's
stay away from the back lot.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Also in November. November 11th, Jack and Jill, new Adam Sandler movie that features Al Pacino.
And they just came out with shots of Pacino in it last week, the day after the Golden Globes. That morning, he started shooting his scenes in it, dressed up like Richard III.
Really? That's why he. You know that's why he did it.
Probably,
Okay, November 18th is one of the movies I'm most excited about, Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. I'm only excited about it because this spells out the end for this stupid franchise. I'm ready to be over.
It is amazing how I've never, you know, we talked a couple of years about how the Harry Potter films were front-loaded that weekend, but the Twilight movies, that first weekend, oh, my God, and then they just disappear. It's really, in this country, I mean, I know worldwide they have a huge growth, but it is amazing how front-loaded they really are. But that's quite a week that you have there, because also on that day you have Happy Feet 2 in 3D. I'm just saying, Jamie, I'm just using the previous box office example.
Was that audible?
What?
Was my laugh audible? I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. They heard you. They heard you in Norway, okay? So just...
I got spaghetti cooking. What day are we on?
We're on November 18th.
We're November 18th, and then the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yes. And then for Thanksgiving week, we got the Muppets remake, or the Muppets movie. I don't know if it's a remake, but...
Who's going to have the Orson Welles part?
I don't know, but Jason Segel is sort of like the guy who got this whole ball rolling here.
I want to see it. I like the Muppets, so I want to
see it. I do, too. I love Muppet movies, and I like Jason Segel very much.
Yeah.
So I'm totally
But don't
I'm
you
totally
think the
that.
Smurfs and the Muppet movies are just really expensive trailers for the Fraggle Rock film?
Well, they could be. They could be. But I think the Muppets I don't want to give a shit about the blue people and the Smurfs, but I do – the Muppets, yeah, the Muppets I welcome with open arms.
You know what? With the Smurfs, I just can't wait until the Danny Elfman remix of the fa-la-la-la-la-la tune. I think that'll be great.
Oh, is he doing the music for it?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I can imagine.
Oh, my God. All right, yeah.
All right, moving on to December.
Oh, Rise of the Apes comes out on – then too.
The new Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
we really want to
get
into this.
Let's not go there again. Okay, we've had enough about the apes and the ape shit.
I got to be honest, I'm interested in the Rise of the Apes movie.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, it's got James Franco, it's got John Lithgow, it's got Andy Serkis. Like, I don't know, as a series that they're going to try and do something new with, at least this one, you know, it's been close to 10 years since they tried to fuck with it last
time. Yeah,
let's hope.
And I think the sour taste of that one has hopefully been forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
whatever happened to Estrella Warren, by the way?
I have no idea.
You know what I was curious about earlier today? Whatever happened to Shaggy?
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo or the guy or the
rapper? No, the rapper.
The rapper, yeah, I know. I mean, I lost sleep about that for a long time. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Jerry, you're going to have to pick up here because my list stops at November for some reason.
Okay, all right. So, wow. Okay, this is quite a – what I have, and I'm a box office mojo. It's not complete, but I'm just going to – the first one is Hugo Cabaret in 3D.
Yeah.
And that's what day?
That is, according to this, on December 9th.
The new Scorsese 3D children's film.
Mm-hmm.
But as much of a children's film as Scorsese can make. It's a pretty sophisticated book.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I'm really, really interested. I mean,
no,
I want to see what Scorsese can do with 3D.
Yeah.
Yes.
The next week, we get the third Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, Chipwrecked. Oh, God, you've got to be kidding me.
Chipwrecked?
Or you could just say Shipwrecked. But, and then Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh.
Okay, that would be...
Ghost Protocol. It already sounds like an Xbox game, doesn't it? I mean...
Yeah, and Sherlock Holmes 2 is also on that day as well.
Mission Impossible 4. I mean,
but,
I admire the hell out of Tom Cruise. I see him hanging off of buildings. I think he's a great can-do guy. Who's directed Brad Bird? The first name you think of when you think...
Yeah. Mission Impossible. But I think it's a good. I'm curious about both of them. But it's the next week that really is sort of the.
And Jeremy Renner's in it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's. Okay.
It's the next week that is really. We have three very big movies here. And I'm going to. The Adventures of Tintin, The Secret of the Unicorn in 3D. And this finally comes out. This is supposed to be a start of a potential franchise. And. There's a lot of it's a very expensive movie to make.
Now, how is this done? What did Peter Jackson do? What did Spielberg do?
Am I looking at the right thing? Did Peter Jackson produce it? Spielberg directed this?
Yes, and
Edgar
Wright wrote it.
Oh,
no.
Okay,
next
you're right.
Next time, Peter Jackson will direct the second one. Is the plan, as far as I understood it?
Okay.
All
right. The next film after that is the one that I really think I have after watching The Social Network and Let Me In, I feel very optimistic about, and that's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake. I read the interview with the actress's name who's going to play the girl?
Rooney Mara.
She's perfect, and I think I like the way they read the interview with her and David Fincher and W. And I just think that after watching The Social Network, and even Fincher can do no wrong in my book, especially with this, because I do like the original films a lot, and the books obviously are, hold their own against anything, but we must remember that the original movies were actually made for Swedish television, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They were not actually, they were really made. So this will have I think this will have a different tone, totally different scope, and a different focus.
I think so too. I think it'll definitely be a cinematic experience,
yeah,
like the first one was. And the first one was like a great book,
mm-hmm,
you know, a page turner. And I think this will be a cinematic experience, like I said.
Yeah, I really have no problems with this being remade now. At first, I was skeptical, but I really have to say,
I really can't
wait to see it.
I don't know that this is going to be real popular. Can you see this being popular enough that they get to make the following books into movies? You know what I mean?
That's what we'll have to see. If they're not, what I was hoping that it would be, I would hope that this would do well just to see if maybe they bring in different directors for the other two. And
you think so? I think Fincher has said that he wanted to direct a franchise.
Okay, if he wants to do all of them,
I thought that they'd give the second one to Brad Bird. I didn't know.
but the other thing I want to bring up is though, I was kind of, the widow of the author has supposedly on his, there is a manuscript, an outline for a fourth book.
Unfinished.
And that's, I think, really one of the most interesting things. If that ever they can find someone to write that and finish it and maybe make that.
I don't know, though. The thing about those books, like Jamie said, they're really page-turners. They're really well-written. What he was great at was sort of the making the boring details somehow really interesting.
Yeah,
They're not page-turners the way that the Lost Symbol and Da Vinci Code books are page-turners, which is there's literally something happening on every page, something big action, you know, moment,
right,
or a big reveal. The Stieg Larsson books aren't like that. Like,
no, not
at all. There's long periods where nothing is happening in those books, but somehow he was able to make it interesting. So I don't think they should get someone else to write those. You know, that's my opinion. But.
Well, there's
Spanking the Monkey. I think Spanking the Monkey is very bold.
That's it. Well, dude, I wish, you know what, everyone who's listening to this show knows that's my hobby. Why do you have to knock it? I mean, why do you have to knock my hobbies? I don't understand this. I really don't get it. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, Jesus Christ.
So Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is the Christmas weekend?
It's Christmas. And then the third film that comes out that day is Cameron Crowe's We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon, Scarlett Johansson, Elle Fanning, Thomas Hayden Church, and he is reunited with his cinematic alter ego from Almost Famous, Patrick Fugit. So I have high
hopes. And Kevin James is not in this movie.
No, Kevin James, no. He plays Portland. No. that was horrible. God forgive me for that. But I really am looking forward to this film. I love Cameron Crowe, and I'm really looking forward to this.
He plays Portland. It's about time Cameron Crowe makes another movie, and I hope he gets back in the fray. I mean, I like Cameron Crowe. I've always liked his movies.
I didn't
quite like Elizabeth Town, but
I watched it again.
So good.
Last month, and I really think it's actually, I think it got shit on unfairly. I actually like it a lot. I don't like it. I think it's a nice companion piece to Almost Famous, actually. I think it's just like a really nice companion. I do like that film, though. It's
in terms
really
of
good.
Character, in terms of character and making character specific and bringing out supporting characters and writing good female roles, I think he's akin to James L. Brooks. With a real pop sensibility, and when he's on, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope he succeeds with this movie.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Chris, you don't agree?
No, I guess
I am not as high on Cameron Crowe. The movie's just a little bit over sentimental for me, overly sentimental. Like it just seems a little bit false. A lot of
that's
time.
What I thought about Elizabeth Town, but I didn't think that way about Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Well, yeah, that was 30 fucking years ago.
Yeah, well,
and he didn't make it, so.
Yeah, I mean, but I do.
Right, but he wrote it, right?
Yeah, he did.
We wrote
it.
That, and
Jerry Maguire is a good movie. I think Almost Famous is like one of the most overrated movies ever made. made. Like, just really
okay.
Really sappy.
Oh,
that director's cut. That director's cut is coming up. It's going to be released at Best Buy exclusively this month, or next month, or whenever it comes out. Yeah,
on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I'm buying that. Okay.
All right. Interesting. All right.
And
so we
Steven Spielberg's War Horse.
That's the last film. Yeah, that's the last film.
Also, Spielberg has War Horse out. Okay.
Yeah. He has two movies coming out in the same month. Finally. It's
Reigns
one of those
Wars.
Yeah. It feels like it could be like a best picture for next year, especially given the crowd that we just talked about for the last hour and a half or whatever.
Or it could be Secretariat.
Yeah, could
I
be.
I like Secretariat. Okay, never mind. I like Secretariat, so, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so, man, it looks like a weak year. And thinking of Oscar contenders, does the Tree of Life just stand out like a sore thumb?
It does. War Horse also does. You know, if they're still doing 10, and the other thing is, you know, there's a lot on this list. You don't get a lot of the dramas that'll be picked up in Sundance and things like that, and other stuff that sort of comes out of nowhere, like it always happens every year.
Yeah.
And so we don't know about those, but yeah, Tree of Life stands out. I think Girl with the Dragon Tattoo stands out.
Yeah.
And maybe even, you know, who knows, stuff like Tintin and the Hugo Cabret movie.
Yeah.
I think that sort of mocap stuff. In the hands of people like Spielberg and Scorsese is going to be really, really something interested. It's the first time I've
mo-cap.
Been interested.
Man, you are sophisticated.
Hell yeah.
Mocap.
I don't even have any pants on. What about the Tom Hanks directorial? If that's good, that might...
Yeah.
That could be a possibility.
Yeah. Except Tom Hanks directorials usually don't.
What was the other one? He did... That thing you do. And that's the only that thing he's directed?
That is the thing he did.
Thank you. Okay. I know. I thought he might have directed something else. That's all. I'm sorry.
Well, no matter what, we know that whether they do a movie or not in 2011, Mike Leigh will be nominated for Best Screenplay and Randy Newman for Best Score. So those are two definites.
I'm confused.
I'm very confused. Welcome to the club, man.
All right.
Time to
close out the show. Chris, are you around? I don't know what we're doing next Sunday. Are you around this Wednesday night or next Sunday or what? This has been so nice to have you on these shows.
Yeah, always.
I know. It's been great. I don't know what my schedule is right off the top of my head, but if I'm around, I'll get it to you. And if I'm around, we got to do it again because this was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Margot Kidder Wednesday
about
night.
Oscar soon, won't we? They got Oscar.
Well, we're doing Oscar predictions next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah,
can
that's
that?
What
that
we're doing.
Because the nominations come out on Tuesday, isn't
that
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll have to get back to you. I don't know my schedule, like I said, but
I'll move it to Wednesday, this Wednesday, if you can't make it on Sunday. So either one, you let me know.
Yeah, I will let you know. Absolutely.
Okay.
And we'll push Margot Kidder to Sunday if you can make Wednesday.
Okay, cool. All right.
I'm sure she'll go crazy and hide my bush at a protest.
Hide in my bush? I like that.
All right. We're going to close up the show with an original score from John Debney. This is from No Strings Attached, which we discussed earlier on, the very beginning of the show. And I think this score is also used for an insurance or car commercial or something.
Well,
sounds so familiar.
No, but I like John Debney. He was a fun interview. He was great.
Yeah, it was a great interview. He's a great man. Iron Man. Yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you
both. See you next time.
Okay.
Jerry, definitely see you back here Wednesday, whether we're talking Oscars or Margot Kidder. We'll do it.
One or the other.
All right, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.